Podtacular, episode 370, Two Worlds, from May 23rd, 2013. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm, and today, unfortunately, we do not have Brent. I don't know where he is. We're actually starting the recording of this 30 minutes late. So, unfortunately, you will not hear Brent today, but thank you to some very good friends I have in some very, very cool places. I was able to bring in one of our favorite community members, and he's going to be here for at least the good half of the show until he needs to leave, and then I can pick up the rest. But that is Naked Eli. Welcome back.
Hi, guys. Sorry you have to deal with me instead of Brent. We don't know where Brent is, so yeah. I'm just filling in for now.
Yeah. I mean, we sent out the search party, but they didn't find anything, so...
I hope he's okay. I hope the wolves didn't get him.
It was probably that Call of Duty dog, you know, that probably just scared him away a little bit.
This is rocket science level stuff.
Indeed. So we have Nick and Eli to help us go through today's bulletin and to talk about something that came out from Bungie today. We have the official trailer for Destiny. So that was pretty cool to watch. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the show. But
amazing.
Indeed, it was very, very cool. I am psyched about this game. I am really looking forward to it and what they're going to show at E3 for this.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer, but you should go watch it. What's the title if people want to look it up?
The Law of the Jungle.
Yeah. It honestly looks like Star Wars V2
in
the
coolest
way possible. Just like the whole feel, the way the characters look, the environment, the background, the sound effects. Like, and I love Star Wars, so I'm really excited about that.
Bungie really knows how to do their stuff.
Well,
they really have that down pat.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to wait and see if, like, more gameplay. It was obviously just a trailer, but they said they will be showing more at the PlayStation E3 conference on June 10th. So I'm excited to see what they reveal.
I am psyched. I am ready to see what Destiny's going to bring to the table.
Like, we still don't even know. Is it going to be an MMO? Is it going to be like an MMORPG? Is it going to be an MMO?
It sounds like it's going to be a mix of quite a few different genres. It sounds like FPS, MMO, RPG. It sounds like if you take the biggest and best kind of gameplay styles and try to jam it into this, minus like racing or something like that, it's what you're getting with Destiny, almost. At least that's what it seems like for the time being.
So you think the more genres they fit in, the better? If it's like a puzzle,
maybe.
Puzzle, racing, FPS, RTS, RPG, I can't even talk anymore.
Look at Borderlands. You have the RPG, you have FPS, you have, I mean, in some of the missions that you do, you have kind of racing elements in there, so.
That's true.
And Borderlands is a freaking fun game.
It is. It is. Do you know Angel from Borderlands?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know her personally.
Well, her voice and performance actor... did some work with my buddies at the Warp Zone, and so I met her recently, and she actually started dating my roommate a little bit. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, well, TJ is a good-looking guy, so, you know.
Angel's just
falling into his lap.
Oh, man. You got them jokes to go tonight, don't you?
Hey, bye, bye.
We like that. We like that. We like that a lot. All right, so you were on our podcast a couple days ago, actually, to talk about the Xbox reveal. So thank you again very much for coming on that one. We had a very, very good time. I hope you did as well.
What was this, the five-hour podcast?
The 3.5.
No way, dude. I, like, left, went food shopping, went to the gym, like, took a shower, ate dinner, came back, and you guys were still going. And I showed up late and left late. Like, I don't believe you.
Three and a half hours is what it turned out to be.
If you say so.
We talked in the stream for about an extra 30 minutes to an hour after we were done, but yeah, it took a while.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really fun time, though. Lots of cool people, lots of great discussion about Halo TV and all the other cool stuff that was revealed with Xbox One.
Oh, yeah. I think we had 14 different people on. So it was crazy.
Yeah, so. I was reading to a friend when you posted to the Podtacular website. I was like, and thanks to our special guest, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was just like a paragraph of people. Got a kick out of that.
It was. I was surprised I was able to even get that many people together for a show that quickly. It was fantastic.
I was surprised Skype could hold that many people. You said it holds up to 25 now?
25, yep.
That is insanity. Yeah, mm-hmm. we were halfway there. Maybe we'll get to 25 one day.
Yeah, we had quite a bit when we did our decade podcast. We had, I think, up to 18 at one point on our decade podcast. So we almost hit it last or two nights ago.
Nice.
Yeah. So onto some bulletin discussions. They mentioned the Halo TV series that they announced at the Xbox reveal thing, but they're not going into details about it now for obvious reasons. But they did acknowledge the fact that, yes, we did have an announcement. Steven Spielberg is directing, and they're excited to see what's going to be coming off of that. But, of course, the topic that is on everyone's minds right now is the current state of weapon tuning. So this has been something that's been going on for the last 2 months or so now. And if you guys saw the stream from 343 about a week and a half ago, you guys know that we had some community members in the studio for 343. Unfortunately, Nick and Eli was not one of those that got to go, which would have been so cool, but...
Nope. It's okay. I got to go to Switzerland. My feelings are not hurt.
Yeah, still jealous about that. Still jealous.
Experience of a lifetime. And I'm sure these guys had a blast too. Like, if you look at their picture on the Waypoint bulletin, they just look super happy. Like Ninja, Green Skull, Neighbor, like everyone is just super happy in the photo at the top. So I'm sure everyone enjoyed it, you know, and every single person was worth attending.
Yeah, it was, the stream was really interesting to watch. All the things that they talked about with the weapon changes are definitely interesting. And they actually, BS Angel sat down with all of them, I think after a play session over lunch and asked them a bunch of questions. So that's the bulk of this bulletin for this week. So we'll get into those here.
Real fast, I think you said Steven Spielberg was director. I think he's executive producer for the show.
Oh, sorry, executive producer.
Yeah, don't mess that up, man. People are going to complain their pants off in the comments. So, okay.
Sorry about that. Yes, executive producer for the Halo TV series. So, thank you.
No props. Got your back.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So, of course, the weapon tuning has been heavily focused on the precision weapons, but there has been some kind of overflow into the automatic weapons and some vehicle stuff as well. But these are just going to be some of the reactions that we have from everyone that went to 343 for this live streaming event. And for you guys that don't remember who it was Ninja, Green Skull, Tashi, Ghost Ayame, Crazy by Default, and I'm blanking on the last one.
Did you say Tashi?
Yeah, I said Tashi.
Green Skull, Ninja, Ghost.
Crazy by Default.
Who's the Bravo, sixth? BS Angel. Quinn, no. Rukizzle, Neighbor.
Neighbor, that's it. Neighbor, thank you.
Dr. Mouse. Yeah.
Neighbor. Oh, and doesn't Dr. Mouse, doesn't his face in the picture just look like just out there?
Oh, I love it. It's wonderful.
It's freaking amazing.
It makes my day.
Quinn needs to work on his smile a little bit.
I think Bravo's smile is up there in the top three.
Huh?
What's going on?
Oh, boy. So, let's start things off with just the questions that got asked throughout the thing, throughout the bulletin. So, first thoughts about the weapon tuning. The game is just being more refined. They're really enjoying the gameplay, how the speed of the game is changing and starting to really get its balance. Of course, their primary first reactions were to the BR, how much that has changed now as a four-shot kill, and how the timing on the firing rate has been adapted to kind of balance out between the rest of the weapons. There's actually quite a bit of discussions throughout these questions about the carbine. A lot of people were really kind of surprised with the carbine, and it seems like a lot of people were probably going to start migrating towards that, primarily because it's instead of 9 shots, it's 7 shots to kill with the carbine. So that's going to be a big difference. Yeah.
Right. And that's something that could make the carbine viable competitively as well, because I mean, the BR4 shot, it feels great. It's nostalgic. Like, everyone is commenting on how much they enjoyed it, just from a personal level and historical level. But the carbine now has such a fast kill time. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was a 7-shot on their E3 build, and it just destroyed things. And that was when I thought the carbine was going to be really powerful. But when they switch it to, I think, a 9-shot, like you said, that's just way too many bullets, A, to kill somebody. That means you need to have your reticle on them perfectly for 9 shots. And the clip size, I don't know the exact number, but that means you can't really kill. I think it's 18, right? You can't kill
more than... I thought it was 17.
Okay, so you can't even kill 2 people then, if that's correct, with 1 clip, which is not viable. Like, when you have the DMR, which can kill, what, 3 and 3+ people with one clip,
no.
Something like that?
Or 2.8. It's
2.8.
Yeah, 2.8.
So now that we have the carbine with 7, that's now also in a similar range of 2 point, you know, something in the later digits. That could actually make it really, really strong, especially with the fast rate of fire and cleaning up 1 shot. So I'm excited to test it out too on June 3rd when it launches.
Right. Green Skull, and his, when he answered the question of what weapon stood out, he said carbine was the one that stood out the biggest, to him. Of course, the BR is going to be the one that a lot of people are going to gravitate towards because it was in Halo 2 and Halo 3. So a lot of people are going to go back trying to get that familiar feel for the BR.
Who also said they liked the light rifle? Was it Tashi or Crazy by Default? Someone said that they do agree that the carbine is beast, but the light rifle scoped in as it is currently just has such a fast rate of fire that it shreds things from cross map. So, Ninja said he would like to see that get nerfed, actually, that he thinks the light rifle is too strong as is. So maybe a lot of these guys are going off the assumption that it's just overpowered and is going to get nerfed, because it has a 3x scope and such a fast rate of fire, and it's a 4-shot.
Yeah, that light rifle is now really, I think, probably has the longest powerful range out of all the precision weapons. The DMR has been kind of nerfed a little bit to where that red reticle range has been reduced, and the rate of fire, I believe, on the DMR is still the same, but it's been slightly altered on the BR. I think it's a tad bit slower is what they sell on the stream for the BR.
Yes, because otherwise the 4-shot would be overpowered, but it didn't seem like super slow. Like, when I first heard that they were going to reduce the rate of fire, I was thinking, oh no, it's going to be like but you know, like this ridiculously slow rate, because it is a 4-shot, it has to match the 5-shot weapons. But now they're saying that it was only slightly reduced. And when I watched the gameplay, it did seem to be very similar to what we see today. I would be interested in, maybe I'll record a video of like the current BR rate of fire, and then as soon as the update happens, I'll record a video of the new rate of fire, and we can compare and see just how different it is.
That'd be a good one for your Breaking Down Halo 4 series.
Oh, yeah. I would love to analyze all these weapons. I originally was going to with the old weapon sandbox, what we currently have, but it was just so obvious that the DMR won in every single circumstance for the most part. 1v1s, whether they're close or far. It just had the highest aim assist. It had one of the highest clip-to-kill ratios, as mm-hmm. we were just speaking about earlier. The redness, like you said, the redness from range is being nerfed, and that's because it's just so insanely accurate at all ranges with such a fast rate of fire that I didn't even have to analyze anything. I was just like, look, everyone agrees the DMR is overpowered compared to the other rifles. You should use it if you want to be competitive and win games outside of like MLG or arena gaming, etc. But now that we have all these new updates, you know, it looks like things are on an even plane, and I'm excited to see how that changes the feel of the gameplay and matchmaking.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of matchmaking, they actually had a question in here asking the guys that went over there what they think is going to be the most impact to playlists for these weapon updates. And there was a pretty unanimous answer across the board saying Big Team. Big Team and Infinity Slayer would probably see the biggest impact to these weapon changes, primarily because you're slaying so much throughout those and they're not necessarily objectives.
I think, honestly, both Objective and Slayer is going to be impacted, but I agree that because Big Team relies on ranges, that playlist will see a huge change, simply because you can't just sit at the top of Longbow and DMR everyone at both the bases and their spawns anymore. Like, you now are forced a little bit more just to move outward from the base, put yourself in more vulnerable positions. And honestly, I don't know if it's going to be a huge, huge difference because we still have 3x scope weapons like the light rifle and DMR. But the fact that if a BR gets close to you now and it can wreck a DMR at close range, that's going to have a huge impact on what's the term, where you take over certain portions of the map, zone control. So zone control, I think, is going to be highly impacted by the update.
Yeah. Well, it's just interesting to see that in all the responses, they basically mentioned the Slayer game types. They mentioned Team Doubles, Rumble Pit, Infinity Slayer, Big Team. I forget, on the stream, did they play? They played a couple of objective games, but I think it was mostly Slayer.
I don't recall.
That's probably why their initial reactions were probably to the Slayer game types.
But if you're affecting the slaying capabilities of your weapons, I mean, objective isn't just running a race and seeing who can get the flag home fastest. Like, it also involves kill times. Maybe they're thinking that when you have to run the flag, you have a Magnum, and the Magnum hasn't been buffed along with these other weapons, so that'll maybe make the flag carrier weaker and not have a huge impact. Like, I could see that argument. But for the most part, King of the Hill, Oddball, like, killing is still going to have a huge impact on who wins those games.
Right. They talked a little bit about the... Or they asked the players what they thought about the change to the BR, and most of them didn't really notice it or didn't think it really affected their gameplay too much. I think the sheer fact that the damage of the BR has now been increased to where it's a 4-shot now is the biggest change that's noticeable to everybody. And of course, being able to get that 4th shot with the BR kill is a huge, huge difference compared to how it is currently in the game. So.
Oh, yeah. And this is something that a lot of competitive players were hoping they would see with the return of the battle rifle, because, you know, you have 2 generations of Halo games with your favorite weapon. Arguably, that's what a lot of pro players and competitive players really enjoyed using, was the 3-shot burst, the battle rifle. And then Halo 4 comes around and they're like, hey, by the way, we made it a 5-shot. And people were like, what? What? What did you do to my battle rifle?
Yeah, basically breaking the classic battle rifle feel for Halo.
Exactly. And so now they're realizing, oh, maybe we should have just kept it a 4-shot and had an increased rate of fire to balance that insanely powerful DMR. So yeah. I think it's a good change, for sure.
I think they're finally realizing that all the changes that they want to kind of put their mark on Halo weren't necessarily the right ones to make, and they actually need to stay a little bit more towards the classic Halo feel, and I think they're starting to figure that out with all the community feedback.
For sure. Yeah, there's a lot of areas where I think that's a correct statement.
Yeah. The last kind of serious question that they have in the bulletin is what they thought about on the automatic weapon updates. The general consensus seems to be that it's definitely a little bit more of a niche, and the assault rifle, the automatic weapons are now a bit more tuned to that close range engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely have that power boost for the close range, but with the auto aim being reduced and that magnetism, it's now more important to be up close and personal with those weapons instead of being able to get people from mid range. Because I know from the assault rifle that the way it currently is a very, very powerful weapon.
And it is.
Most cases, even against precision weapons and a good amount of encounters that you get throughout the entire Halo 4 matchmaking experience.
Yes. However, the problem was that the assault rifle and the other weapons like the storm rifle and the suppressor automatics had really high aim assist, and so people consider them very noob friendly, and I don't know, they decided to reduce that aim assist but increase the damage, so it creates a skill gap where more competitive or better skilled players are now able to use these weapons as viable alternatives, maybe as a secondary with the firepower loadout, for example, so that they could just pull out the AR and not get into bolt shot range, right? Because that's where the bolt shot at extremely close, like Mauler level ranges, would be more powerful. But if you say that close mid range, the AR, I think, is going to rip people to shreds. So I'm also excited to test out how the new AR and the other automatic weapons compare to these precision weapons.
Right. That pretty much wraps up all the serious questions. There are some other kind of toy questions down here down below. So we're not going to cover those. If you want to read those, they are, some of the responses are pretty funny. Just look up the bulletin. There's going to be a link along with the show on our website, podtacular.com, with the podcast post.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep.
Yeah, is there anything else you want to... Oh, we're going over the Destiny trailer real fast, right? I got about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Real quick, though, there are a couple of things left. From the matchmaking playlist side, there were some issues with the Community Forge playlist and some of the maps, so they have fixed those. They did push an update yesterday when the bulletin got released. They are evaluating the play on all the playlists to see what kind of game types can be consolidated into playlists down the road, so they are looking to do some of that. And they're also toying with the skill searching whenever you're going into matchmaking with the CSR stuff. So all that's still being tweaked behind the scenes. So you'll see, so hopefully you'll see the most optimal matchmaking experience out there.
I don't remember this part, but did they mention if they replaced the boxes that were missing in the Community Forge playlist?
So I'm assuming that would be part of the stuff that they said was missing when they mentioned that they fixed the map. So probably yes.
Yeah, because there were. I talked to one of the guys who made one of the maps, and he was like, yeah, there were boxes here for jumping up to this platform, and here, and here, and here. And then there's another map in the playlist that when those boxes disappeared, like there were holes in the map that you could just run through. So that, I hope, was, yeah, also what they agreed to fix.
I think that's probably what they fixed.
Cool. So.
All right, well, we usually would pick a preferred screenshot, but since you have to leave, we'll go ahead and get into some Destiny news.
Yeah.
So the official Destiny trailer got released. It is called The Law of the Jungle, which looks sick.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a scene, I think, I'm not sure where the fighting is on this. I don't think this is probably on Earth. At the time, this seems like an actual expedition that's gone maybe off-world for this. Can't say for sure yet, but in terms of the cinematic pieces and the actual in-game engine pieces, oh my gosh. Bungie knows how to put a trailer together so well.
It's a fact. And I love how they mixed the gameplay and the cinematics with a story, right? The Law of the Jungle represents a story that this guy's reading and basically overlays perfectly the gameplay and what you're watching. And I think as that story builds up and the gameplay builds up, you're just like, take my money. I want this game right now. Like, right now.
Yeah, exactly. But the main part of the story was actually telling about this law of the jungle, which is kind of interesting because it's basically a father reading to his son from this book. And you can actually see the traveler in the background out this window that they actually are sitting in front of. So that's really cool to see that integration from the live action stuff into the actual game. Mm-hmm. But this Law of the Jungle is essentially talking about kind of like a wolf pack thing where the wolf pack is kind of relied upon the entire pack where one wolf is powerful because of the pack and the pack is powerful because of the wolf. So it's basically saying that whenever you're going out on adventures in Destiny, you're going to be heavily relying on other people to do well.
But it's still going to rely on your individual skill and how you can help the pack take down the enemies. Yeah. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, I am so excited for this.
The weapons also, I mean, they don't look too crazy sci-fi futuristic. They just look like awesome machine guns with some cool sci-fi effects here and there. The weapons were really cool. They were basically really relatable. Like, you know, obviously this is the future. They're going to have more advanced weaponry. And you see some of those effects, like when the guy whips out the gun and just rips apart this huge crowd of shielded enemies. But they're not totally crazy, right? They're not so sci-fi and out there and weird that people don't understand them or don't know what they do or what's going on with them. So I think that's a good move. And it's similar to Halo. You know, it's not saying it's bad that it's like Halo. I think Halo is very successful in many ways, and I think that's one of its strengths.
Well, I like to see how the class structure is going to kind of work in this too, because we have the three different classes. We have the Warlock, Titan, and Hunter that you can play throughout this game. And I think in that trailer, we basically saw one of each of those in there. So again, kind of reinforcing the fact that you're going to be relying on each other, and everyone's going to be relying on you to do your part when you go out on these missions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all in all, I'm excited to see what the classes are, what different weapons they have access to, different abilities. Like, you know, of course, it's going to probably be a sniper class and a stealth, like, rogue-like class. And I mean, maybe I'm just assuming, maybe they're going to completely reinvent the loadout or class system as we know it. This is Bungie, you know, they've done it before, and it's likely they can do something crazy and make it successful again. But I have to run, Dustin, so yep. I just wanted to say thanks again for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming. I will pull it through here on out for the rest of the show. Thank you very much for coming on very, very last minute.
Oh, my pleasure, man. All right. Have a good rest of the show.
All right.
And I'll talk to you soon, man. Peace.
Peace. So as far as the rest of the topics we're going to be talking about, I'm going to have the question of the week addressed. So last week we asked a question related to the weapon tuning. So I asked, if there is one thing that you could change about any weapon in Halo or Halo 4, what weapon and what change would that be? So you guys came back with a roaring response, and there's quite a few from Twitter, quite a few from Facebook. But the first one here comes from @KylesZA, I guess. And he says, the BR, the sound is so awful, change it back to something cool. Personally, the BR sound, I'm not a huge fan of either. I'm not necessarily offended by it. I don't think it's awful, but it is one of those sounds where I think it could be beefed up to sound a little bit more like its Halo 3 counterpart. So I wouldn't mind a change. I don't think it's like drastic, but yeah, I could see having a change there. Halosaurus, he writes, @Halosaurus on Twitter, as in how they would handle in matchmaking, he says, Spartan Laser. I'd increase its power output so that is comparable to Halo 3. So I believe the Halo 3 Spartan Laser was a little bit more prone to actually kill vehicles in one hit, whereas in Halo 4 and Halo Reach, you could actually hit a vehicle once, especially like a tank or a wraith, and it wouldn't actually kill it. So I think that's kind of what he's getting at there with the Spartan Laser, to actually make it a true one-shot kill on vehicles. @FunkyChickenLover, his response is, I would make the bolt shot explode in the user's face whenever they try to one-shot kill with their new weapon. That would be interesting, although I don't see that as a very effective means for having it be a viable weapon in the game. So while it is a funny suggestion, I would probably say that's not one they're going to make. just saying. Mr. Happy Official, he writes, I feel the incineration cannon could use a larger blast radius. It is way underpowered in the current sandbox. I find that surprising because I feel that the incineration cannon is overpowered, personally, just from the fact that you have that direct blast you get whenever you the projectile hits first, and then you have that splash of like 8 or so kind of mini bombs that pop up afterwards. So it's a lot more powerful than the rockets right now, in my opinion, and definitely more so than the fuel rod in certain situations. I think the only reason why it's balanced is because people are so used to using the rockets and the fuel rod because they've been in the past Halo games. I still think the incineration cannon is a very, very powerful weapon, though. @Drax122, one of our friends over from Ready Up Live, he says, the color of the energy sword blade. It would be cool if you could probably customize that to maybe match what your armor color is. That would be cool. @SomethingMachine, he says, I would make the BR fire rockets. So he basically wants a Chaos Halo in Halo 4 or Chaos Gulch. For any of you Halo PC players or Halo Custom Edition players, you will probably be very familiar with the Chaos Gulch, Chaos High, and all those Chaos maps that are basically have the projectiles swapped out with different projectiles. So that would be fun just in terms of like just having a blast, but it definitely would not be a change that you would want to make in a game like Halo 4 that's kind of played on a confined console, a closed off system. @NerdLim or NerdLim, he says, remove the railgun's aim assist completely. Perhaps extend the timer to shoot, as it's too easy to use for a one-shot power weapon. Well, that's kind of how it's supposed to be used. And I'm not sure what aim assist you're talking about, because I've always had it to where I start firing, I zoom in, and I manually aim it that way. And whenever you zoomed in, you're not really getting aim assist on it. So I'm not sure if you, it's, you have to be, I think, pretty much mid to close range in order for that aim to assist or that magnetism to really kick in. And even then, I mean, you're being shot with a railgun. It's meant to be a one-shot power weapon. So I don't, personally, I don't think having that change would be something to do it. But thank you for your submission. I'm sure other people feel similarly, but I think personally the railgun is fine the way it is. I personally love the railgun. It's kind of like the grenade launcher from Reach, just having that kind of niche feel to it, being able to kind of master it. It's one of those kind of really, really cool moments. Next one is from at Still Chewy, another friend over from Ready Up Live. He says, the Magnum, I'd make it a 4-shot kill so you can get 2 kills per magazine. Maybe like the Flagnum, a 3-shot kill, but give it a longer reload time. So the only reason I would say I would advise against that is just because how rapid fire the pistol is, or the Magnum is. I would say if you could reduce the fire rate on it, then maybe a 4-shot kill would be something that you would possibly look into. I'm still, at least from my perspective, having the Magnum and the Flagnum different shots for kills still seems a little off to me, because they're technically the same weapon. That's probably just me, but having those different kill levels on those weapons just seems a little off to me. I'm sure that's just me, though. At Velociraptor 112, he says, the bolt shot's charge damage. Well, I think we can all agree to that one. And it's funny, because the next two have the same kind of simple response. At Halo Fan for Life, our good friend who has helped us with the Spartan Ops podcast, he says, bolt shot, remove it from Halo. And then we get into the Facebook stuff, and our first reply from Facebook is from Ramon Sanchez. He also says, bolt shot, remove it, take it out completely. I am a proponent for actually keeping the bolt shot in. I think it's an interesting idea for a weapon. I think its execution and implementation was badly done. I think if it was something along the lines of a Mauler, where you have the range for that one-shot kill has to be pretty much in your face, having that as that secondary firing mode would have been good. And then having, instead of taking half the clip, actually taking the full clip. I think if you were to nerf it down to where it would behave exactly like that, I think the bolt shot would be a perfectly viable weapon as a secondary. But that one-shot kill range would have to literally be like 5 feet. Like all the projectiles that came out of the gun would have to hit. That would be the only way that you'd get that one-shot kill. And that's how I would see the bolt shot working alongside all the other weapons in the Halo 4 sandbox. Some people will say that it shouldn't be in the loadout period, but I feel that if you dumbed it down enough to those specifications, that it wouldn't cause that much grief to people. Because, I mean, if you look at the plasma pistol, it's not technically a one shot, but you have that overcharge, you unleash it, melee, it's almost an instant kill. With the bolt shot, you're basically taking that extra split second away. But I think if you were to dumb it down to that being it that way, I think it would be an okay secondary, at least in my opinion. Continuing on the Facebook replies, Aaron Chantu, he says, either the battle rifle more accurate or the DMR less accurate. So they did make the DMR reduced the red reticle range for the DMR, so that's kind of an effect of accuracy. It's not too much, but it does reduce that magnetism that you have, at least on the further distances. So that has been decreased. I don't remember if they said they changed anything with the red reticle range on the BR. I think they actually left that the same, and they just changed the firing rate and the damage for the BR. So, in a sense, they did reduce that DMR accuracy, though. Elliot Montag says, bring back the suppressor for the SMG. Or Elliot Montag Howie, he says, bring back the suppressor for the SMG. So there isn't an SMG in Halo 4. Now, there was an SMG in Halo 2. And there was one in Halo 3. So I guess if they brought the SMG back for Halo 5, then maybe you would look at a suppressor. But I'm not sure that we'll ever see the SMG back because I'm... And this is just me going on a limb here. I have no idea if 343 is going to even look at this in the future or not, but I don't think dual wielding is going to be something that's going to be brought back. They may toy with the idea. They may not. I'm going to probably lean on the side that they're not going to. But depending on what the community wants, they may bring back dual wielding. But I don't see the SMG coming back unless there is. Brian Robin, his response is the laser was ruined and it needs to go back to how it was in Halo 3. So that's the second person that says that the laser needs to be a little bit more powerful, restored to its Halo 3 glory. Mitch Alpiner, or Molten Sloa, as most people know him, he says, the plasma pistol. Revert it back to Halo 1 strength and keep the vehicle disabling part. So for the plasma pistol in Halo 1, compared to how it is in Halo 4, the quote-unquote magnetism of the overcharge is a little bit greater, and the speed at which the bolt travels is a little bit slower. Actually, I'm not sure about the speed, to be honest. It may be a little bit faster. Actually, I think it is faster. So he wants that kind of Halo 1 plasma pistol with the vehicle disabling part. I think from discussions that we've had on this podcast over the last month or so, kind of leans towards the side of not having that vehicle disabling part as part of the sandbox anymore. Or if it's in there, significantly reducing how much it impacts that disabling of vehicles. I think that plasma pistol is going to be one thing that's going to be hard to balance throughout the rest of Halo. That's one of those things that if 343 manages to nail it down, then good job for them. They've done a service to the Halo community nailing a plasma pistol, but that is one of those weapons with how it's been implemented now. It's going to be really, really tough to nail down. Andrew Gagnon, his response is, I think the bolt shot range should be tweaked to 25 feet or so. I think everyone will love it. So he wants the original bolt shot. Yeah, nice try. Not going to happen. And I know he's probably joking. So Tony Jackson, his response, sniper rifle, bigger magazine, more ammo. So he's talking about the human sniper rifle here. It's the classic sniper rifle for Halo. It's always been four shot. I don't see any reason to change the sniper rifle from how it currently is. I think I haven't heard really any complaints about the sniper rifle in Halo 4 at all. I wouldn't change it, personally. It's pretty much good the way it is. Compared to the beam rifle and the binary rifle, it's a pretty well-balanced weapon. The beam rifle definitely does have an edge because of its ability to shoot a little bit faster than the human equivalent. I would say maybe up the damage of the sniper rifle a little bit. I'm not sure how much that damage table is for a body shot with a sniper rifle, but maybe beef up the power behind the sniper rifle a little bit compared to the beam rifle. But that's just me. I wouldn't change the magazine size or the ability to hold how much ammo that you have for the sniper. A couple more here for the question of the week. Tim Reynard's response is, remove the concussion rifle and replace it with the brute shot. More iconic weapon. Also, nerf the plasma pistol charge up to stun for vehicles. And remove bolt shot from existence. Well, we asked for one. I guess he gave us a laundry list. Of course, none of this would need to happen if you didn't spawn with customizable loadouts. So he does bring up a very good point about loadouts, and this is something that we'll talk about in the podcast coming down the pipeline when we do kind of an overall analysis of Halo 4. But to go through his laundry list, remove the concussion rifle and replace it with the brute shot. I think the two could probably go in side by side if you brought both of them into the game. There's certain certain features of the concussion rifle that you would want to keep and certain features of the brute shot that you would probably want to keep. The brute shot doesn't deal as much splash damage, and on a direct impact, it does more damage, and concussion rifle is kind of opposite to that. I know the brute shot is more of a classic weapon. It was in Halo 2 and in Halo 3. So in terms of being just wanting to bring back a classic, I can understand that, but I wouldn't necessarily say you would want to replace the concussion rifle. It all comes down to how you want the gameplay to flow for whatever Halo title that we're going to be looking at for this coming in the future. So Halo 5. Nerf the plasma pistol for the stun time on vehicles. I just addressed that from Mitch's reply. So yeah, we agree there. And then remove the bolt shot from existence. Plenty of people are right there with you, dude. We already had that discussion too. So last one for the question of the week is from Blake Brooks. He says, semi-automatic battle rifle instead of a burst. The battle rifle is an iconic weapon at this point. There's no reason to go out and change how it is. What they're doing with the four-shot BR, everybody is happy with. Everyone is so happy that 343 is going back to how the BR should feel and has felt for classic Halo. There is no reason to alter that formula because it worked very well in Halo 2. It worked well in Halo 3. And they're trying to change it to where it works well in Halo 4, and it's something that everyone is happy with. So, honestly, I don't see that as something that you would change at this point anymore. Anyone in the stream, I will pose the question to you as well. Again, the question was, if there is one thing you could change about any weapon, what weapon would it be for, and what change would it be? So, I'm going to read our only submission that we got for this week, and while I do that, you guys can think of your answers. So this one comes from Trisket Cracker. He writes in, "Hey, Podtacular, longtime listener. I always enjoy your show and eagerly await each podcast. I have three comments. One, I know you're going to start doing more Halo shows about the lore, the books, the story in different Halo communities, etc. This is wonderful. Have you ever thought about doing a show about the music of Halo? Have a couple of community members on who are huge fans and maybe compare and contrast Marty O'Donnell's music to Neil Davidge's, likes and dislikes." That's grammar check, sorry. "I have noticed you use my personal favorites from the Halo 4 soundtrack to open and close the show, clips from Arrival and To Galaxy. What made you choose those?" Well, actually, the reason I chose those was because whenever they were doing that contest to remix the Halo soundtrack, those were two of the three full tracks that they released. So that's why I pulled those, to be honest. So that's why those are the fronts and the backs of the show. Number two, it seems like what everybody really wants from Halo 4 multiplayer is actually Halo 3 type gameplay. The three major things people seem to have a problem with in Halo 4 seem to be global and personal ordnance, weapon loadouts, and armor abilities. It would be interesting to see just how much 343 listens to the community over Halo 5. Everybody has conflicting interests, and they can't possibly satisfy everybody. I don't see them taking away weapon loadouts and armor abilities. These things are way too integrated now with the Halo franchise. I would propose that they get rid of ordnance drops and do use weapon loadouts, but go back to the reach method of them not being customizable. Or at least only customizable with the main rifles, DMR, BR, carbine, light rifle, and maybe grenade types. This way, all the other weapons can still spawn on the map, and weapons like the plasma pistol and bolt shot will go back to not being overpowered just by the fact that players can spawn with them. This would also improve vehicle survival. As for armor abilities, I would make them like how they were in Team Throwdown as pickups, just like equipment in Halo 3. This way, you could still have them, but they won't ruin a map because an entire team won't be using them. Number 3, understand I do love Halo 4. It is a wonderful, if flawed, game. No complaints on the campaign or Spartan Ops. All things aside, the game is still fun, which is the most important thing, obviously. These changes were made by 343 to bring something new to the franchise and to bring it more in line with modern shooters, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. what haven't we seen in Halo multiplayer yet that you feel could bring something new to the franchise but not be totally game-breaking or unlike Halo? Sorry if this was long, and keep up the great work. So, something that we haven't seen in Halo multiplayer. Obviously, what they did with the weapon loadouts and the classes and this kind of stuff is trying to be iconic off of Battlefield and Call of Duty, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. There are certain pieces of the Halo formula, though, where it doesn't quite match up with how Halo has traditionally flowed in the past in terms of gameplay. As far as having those ordnance drops, I do think it's something that needs to be pulled out of matchmaking and maybe make it something that's just strictly in customs. The idea of having ordnance drops is very interesting and can be done in certain game types and in certain customs, but I think in matchmaking, where a lot of the game has traditionally been based on strategy and map control, is something that needs to be pulled out, because now that map control is completely messed up just because people can call in their own weapons, and one team could have all the power positions and then just be totally messed up by one ordnance drop. So I think with how Halo's traditionally flowed throughout the past Halo games, those ordnance drops need to be pulled out. As far as loadouts, I kind of like your idea of having just the primary weapons and the grenades customizable. The armor abilities, that one's a touchy subject. Because it seems like most of the armor abilities, you would just want them to be pickups. And I think most of us can agree with, at least those that listen to the podcast, but active camouflage does not need to be an armor ability. It needs to be a pickup. Overshield, custom, and active camo need to go back to those classic power-up objects. It works very well in that manner, and I think that's the way Halo needs to go back to in the future for overshields, active camo. As far as the grenades, I don't see a problem with having your own custom grenades, plasmas or frags. Pulse grenade, I mean, it's the options there, but not too many people use it, so that's not a bad idea. As far as the support and the tactical mods, he didn't specifically mention it in his submission, but those just need to get rid of. Those just need to go away, in my opinion. So customizable primary, customizable grenade, and I think we're pretty much set there. So let's see, people in the chat, as far as the question, Pins Halo, you said you missed a grenade launcher. I personally found that weapon very, very cool in Halo Reach. That was one of my favorite weapons to use, similar to how the railgun is in Halo 4. So that one was pretty cool. Purple Haze, he wants the de-scoping back. He wants whenever you get shot to be de-scoped. I think that should be a toggle option. I think that should be something that is an option for people to put in their settings. If they want to be de-scoped, and then let them be de-scoped. If they don't want to be de-scoped, then have that option there. The main argument for that is how it affects the flow of gameplay and how it really alters how people react in different situations. Because that difference in experience may give an advantage over someone else. So that's, I think, the main concern that 343 has, but if you look at it, it's similar to how you have your own custom weapons. It's just a different way of how the game acts. So that may be, it would be something interesting to see. I just don't know if 343 would do something like that. Alice's Pieces says increasing the tracking on the rocket launcher. So I'm assuming you mean, like, when you're tracking vehicles, like, I believe the rocket launcher only tracks Banshees right now. I think that's what you're talking about. Or I don't even know. It's been a while since I've played rockets with a Banshee map, so I could be wrong. I would like to see the targeting back in for just the regular ground vehicles, for like Warthogs and stuff. Warthogs, Mongoose's Ghost, having that tracking back on the rocket launchers. That would be cool. Cloud Massacre, His suggestion for a weapon or a grenade in this point for being introduced would be a gravity grenade. Change the pulse grenade to create a repulsive field that flips gravity, sending people and vehicles into the air. So, kind of like a sonic boom grenade? Kind of? Like having a shockwave that pushes people back? Maybe. I personally find that one kind of odd. Interesting choice, though. We don't have too many people in here. I think I covered at least one suggestion from everyone that posted a response. So there you go. That is our question of the week. For next week, I'm going to post this question to everybody. For the Halo TV show, this is the thing that got announced in the Xbox reveal. But if you had control over the Halo TV show, what part of the Halo universe would you want it to cover? This could be anything from like history of the Forerunners to more backstory in between Halo 3 and 4, or maybe something that will be a bridge between Halo 4 and 5. Maybe a story behind a certain character, like maybe have a backstory behind Spartan Palmer. So that's going to be our question of the week. If there's one thing, what one thing that would you want the Halo TV series to cover in the Halo universe? So you can submit your responses to us as a submission, and I'll post the question on Twitter and Facebook as well. So that's going to be the question of the week. Since we didn't choose one earlier, for screenshots from the bulletin, this week's theme is incineration. I think we actually had one of these before, but these actually look a lot cooler. I will say there are several in here that I like a lot. And I think my favorite is the one called Overtaken by Oh She Wolf O. That one is, I think, one of the coolest ones because it's kind of it's on black, probably black armor and everything. And it's the guy is falling backwards. Half his arm is already disintegrated. And it's like the front half of his body is incinerating. And the back half still is intact. So that one, in my opinion, is the coolest one by far. There are some other ones, cool ones in here. Decomposition is a good one. Corrupted by Flames. Retaliate and Spartan and Disintegration. So that will be it for our podcast. I want to give a huge thanks to Naked Eli for being an emergency co-host and despite Brent's absence. Really appreciate him being on. If you did not catch the Xbox reveal podcast, please do so. It's episode 369 and we recorded it 2 days ago, the night that the Xbox reveal event went on. So please go over there, check it out. We had about, I believe, 14, 15 different guests on to talk about what was showed off at the event. So lots of good stuff. It's about 3.5 hours long. So definitely take this weekend to listen through it. Lots of good discussions on there, especially what we would like to see out of the Halo TV series. So for the question of the week, make sure you send in your responses to submissions@podtacular.com, or you can use the big green button on our homepage, which is located at podtacular.com. Or you can call in to our voicemail and leave a response there, or to any of these methods of submitting to us. You can leave us any questions regarding Halo 4, any of the stuff that got talked about during the Xbox reveal, anything that you have questions about regarding the weapon update, the matchmaking updates, Halo TV, any of that stuff. Feel free to send it to us via email, via our contact, or via our voicemail number, which is 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube, and follow us on Twitch. That is all of our social media networks so far. So make sure you go do that. For the Twitch thing, we do have regular game nights. Since this next week, we're not going to receive a matchmaking update. We're just going to have Wacky Wednesday, and that's going to be on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And we will be doing our customs night then. We will also be doing a Spartan Ops podcast with Sal. I think we're going to do that next week. at least that's the plan for next Tuesday, to talk about the epilogue and talk about our what we would like to see out of a second season of Spartan Ops if one were to come out, which is not looking likely at this point, but we can always hope. While we do this podcast for free, we do appreciate any help that you guys would like to send our way. So on our homepage, you can find a donate button there and donate any amount of money that would help go to supporting the hosting of the site, support going out to events and writing up stuff there. So it's mainly for supporting the site, because right now it's a decent amount of money per month to run the site. So anything you're willing to give or send over our way would be very, very helpful in keeping your podcast alive. So we do appreciate you guys listening, and that's the support that we want. We just want you all to be content and very happy with what you're hearing on the shows. But if you're willing to give and feel that you want to give, then feel free to do so, and we would encourage it too. That pretty much wraps up this episode of Podtacular. Remember, there is the Halo Mole project that I am working with Jackfire Dragon on. Registration for that closes in approximately a week. So if you are interested in registering, or if you've been on the fence for a while, please go over there and register. It is at thehalomole.com. So go over there, watch our teaser, look at our updates, and go register if it's something you're interested in, because you can win up to possible 25,000 Microsoft points. It's quite a huge pool prize. So until next time, keep it real, guys. Thanks again to Nick and Eli for being our last minute co-host, and we will see you all next Thursday. Well, actually next Tuesday for our Spartan Ops episode. Peace, guys.